And in our exercise of the ministry and person of God the Holy Spirit, as he honors the Son, and the Son honors the Father, and thus God, his nature, his essence, his being, is fully covered, Father, Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So, and we're looking at that, and here in Galatians, as we were looking at it, we are looking at particularly right at this point in chapter 5, and you will notice in verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that result you cannot do the things that you would. Now, that wonderful, wonderful benefit is very rarely exercised by believers. They aren't that close to God in practice. So they don't know it. You could read it, that's all. So, it's a wonderful, wonderful benefit. Now, so in order to approach that, after all, because God didn't give it for us to be stupid about, God gave it to us so that we could have the benefit practically, profitably, and pleasing to God. So, in order to exercise that a little bit and get it in the light of the context, etc. So, in Galatians in chapter 3, and you remember, Galatians chapter 3, picking up verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Verse 3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect in the flesh? And we looked at works and legalism and all of the things we do in order to gain relationship in some form or fashion. And we shared together that God, no flesh shall glory in his presence, and that we have everything that which is to be had for, in the positive, by God's grace. So God, whatever God does in your life and for your life, it is God's grace that does it. It's never because of you, never because of me, no works. Nothing we do, say, think, want, wish, ever. And that gets legalism and all our activities, cools the whole thing down. Now, so, little exercise. And in Galatians chapter 3, we were in verse 3, I shall so foolish. Over to Ephesians chapter 1, right next door. And you will notice, chapter 1, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So that's a big S, Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, wisdom and revelation. And the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to be. He's the Spirit of, he brings to us the wisdom. Where's the wisdom found? You know, without turning there, in 1 Corinthians 1:30, God has made Christ unto us righteousness, sanctification, And right in that little block is the word wisdom. He's the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of God is. And he brings to us the wisdom of Christ. That's what he does. Not my wisdom, your wisdom. The wisdom that's in Christ. The spirit of God is going to take and bring that life, that wisdom, the wondrous person of God. He's going to bring that into the heart. So, when he brings that into the heart, then there comes a conflict. Do you know when you're all alone, you can do what you want and you don't have to discuss with anybody about anything? You don't have to worry about anything or anyone. It's you, just you. You do what you want to do. But if someone else is there, and especially depending on who they are, using a silly illustration maybe, if you are going somewhere in downtown or something, maybe in New York, not so good, in New York and driving, and you have a policeman in your car, your friend taking him, and you go with the policeman. And the policeman knows all those little mirrors and things that are taking pictures of you, so cost you $9 to get down that road, and you know everything, because it's congested. And you have all of that. Do you know, you could just try to scoot through it, but the policeman is there in your car, and he's conscious, telling you these all these different things. And you would never know them if it wasn't for the policeman. You would never know them. So when you're alone, it's all right. But when you're not alone, and especially who you're with, that makes a difference. When you received Christ as your Savior, you became not alone. You're no more alone. Now life is different. It ought to be different. It isn't different, unfortunately, for too many believers. It isn't different. No difference. They have no sense, as they ought to, of the Spirit of God's ministry. And thus, if they don't, then they push the Spirit of God aside and they live, like 1 Timothy 4 in that, they live as if they weren't saved. They are saved, but they aren't saved. They don't enjoy that. Now, in order to exercise what we just read, the Spirit of God's ministry, his ministry is to take and bring to us. He is the Spirit of wisdom, and he brings to us all the wisdom that God has provided by way of our Lord Jesus Christ in saving us, etc. Now, exercise that in a personal way, which I think will help. Over to Proverbs. And in Proverbs chapter 1. And in Proverbs chapter 1, you know Proverbs, a wonderful, wonderful book of wisdom. And chapter 1, verse 1, to the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel. For what reason? To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. And therefore, verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. So we're going to get, you want to get, boy, you want to have that wise counsel and understanding. So, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. They don't want wisdom. Because wisdom means you're gonna be governed in your behavior. And you don't want to be governed, you want to be free. License. That's what we want. Now, that little introduction over chapter 1, Proverbs, and picking up, if I may, in verse 20. Wisdom personified, as if it was wisdom's talking to you. God's taking his word, he gave his word, he wrote his word, we're reading his word, and thus we're listening to God help us. Spirit of God, he's the spirit of wisdom. So we're taking from the word of God to the person of God. And the person of God is telling us to look at the word of God. He's the spirit of wisdom. Now, sliding over if I can. Verse 20, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She's looking to try to help whosoever's. Verse 21, she crieth in the chief place of concourse, the busy center of the city, in the openings of the gates where people go in and out of the city, in the opening of the gates in the city. She uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity and the scorners delight in their scorning and fools hate knowledge? How long? Telling you, wake up, I'm here to help you get through the corridor of time. Verse 23, turn you to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you, because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regardeth. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my rule. In other words, we have the Bible, but we maybe even read it, but we aren't absorbing it into our head and heart. And that's what you need. You need, when you hear the word of God and what we're trying to get, it ought to be what you ought. Right now I took you to Joe Doak's famous buffet, and I take you to make believe. And you go to the buffet, and there it is. And I lead you, take you, and we walk right around where all the different foods are, and we look at them, and we say, wow, 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 wow. And then I point you to the door, and we go out. Now, I said, wasn't that wonderful? What a buffet, right? But you didn't have any. That's the point. People go all around, but they don't get it. What's the sense of going into the buffet and you didn't get anything? At least some lettuce. Get something, you'll see. And they like it when you fill up on lettuce, because, you know, lettuce is cheap. Spaghetti, rice, you know. So what do you want to do? You want to get something. So when we're reading, you want to get something down in here. Otherwise, I'm wasting my time up here. That's what I'm doing. I'm wasting my time. Not really, but you get the idea. You want to get it so you can have something in your stomach to nourish you. Otherwise, you're just collecting information. And that's wonderful. Information's wonderful. It won't give you life. No more than if you don't eat any of the buffet. So, therefore, wisdom is rebuking. Wisdom is rebuking the heart of those that seek God. And thus, verse 26, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh, because you didn't take me. So when you're going down the corridor of time and you're going there and you don't utilize, take advantage Why? Because you're in a world system that is run by the devil himself and his demons. You're run by that. You have an old nature that is at once dead, apart from God's life. It's dust, always dust. Dust we are, and go back to dust. And so in the process of that, we just need some help. We need life. So therefore, but when we reject it, then we go down the corridor of time. We walk down the street without any. We live in the same dark world, all of us do. The same old nature. We live in it. There's only one way. We can get some light, and that's by being saved, etc., so that we can go down the corridor of time. In light, not in dark. We're supposed to be children of light, and we walk in the light. We aren't supposed to be in the dark. So you can't. So wisdom says, I'll laugh, because you're going to face everything, and then you're going to complain and mumble and grumble and do whatever you want, say, wonderful, or whatever systems out there, and you're going to do whatever. But you aren't going to have any life. You're going to be in the dark, and you're going to be dead. You have no life. That's all you're going to have. And then you're going to come to me. Well, let me keep reading. You'll see it. Keep reading. Verse 27. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me early, but they shall not find me. Why is that, God? Why is it that you don't answer? Because, verse 29, for they had hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They didn't want to know. They like going down, doing what they do, like everyone else does. So therefore, I might as well keep reading, because it's good. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. In other words, we're carrying, competing, everybody's getting jobs, who, politics, power, everything's out there. So, verse 20 through 33, verse 32, and for the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. Now, why didn't you listen, said wisdom? So I got all these chapters, to help me understand 1,000 different things. Now, flipping over chapter 8. It's a simple illustration, all of this. I don't want to go down. Like Moses would say in Exodus in chapter 32 and 33. Moses said, you know, we aren't going anywhere, God, without you. That was wonderful, Moses. I would glad I'd applaud you. Don't let us go anywhere without you, God. Yeah. Wisdom says, you fool. You needed light and you lived in darkness. You had right, but you lived in wrongness. You had everything. You fool. You left it. And now you live your life year after year with nothing and then die in your bankruptcy. So, chapter 8, here's wisdom again. Here's wisdom, wonderful. Only this time, wisdom is going to stand up and say, listen, I want you to know, chapter 1, what you rejected. Chapter 8, verse 1, doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. In other words, wisdom is on the top of the hill, on the bottom in the valley. Verse 3, she crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in of the doors. Unto you, O men, I call. My voice is to the sons of men, sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom. And ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Wow. Verse 6, hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. So wisdom's going to tell us about itself. Your companion, the Spirit of God, hang on to your thought, Galatians 5 and 17, is in conflict with your old nature. Conflict. Well, we don't want it, so we get rid of that, get rid of the Spirit of God, so I'm free. Now, the Spirit of God says, I'm there, and I'm not going to walk away if you're truly saved. So now, chapter 8, here's wisdom. Wisdom's going to tell of its wonderful, wonderful, wonderfulness. And you keep reading the whole chapter, but picking up again in verse 17. Wisdom, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. And you keep reading, wonderful, 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 wonderful. And you keep, wonderful. Just reading it's sufficient. Just reading it. Now, so therefore, wisdom, tell me some more. Verse 29. When he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment. In other words, remember Jeremiah, when you did it, God said, listen, I put on all the oceans, 70% of the world is water. And here's the oceans, and here's the oceans. People say the oceans, the icebergs are going to melt and make flood Boston, you know, in the process. So here we are. And here's the icebergs. And what are we doing? God, you put all the oceans. Jeremiah, would you tell us? God said, I listen, Jeremiah. I put a boundary so the oceans will never go past what I said. I'll put them where they are. What's the boundary? I put a sand, etc. And the wave will never crash beyond it. Except in a storm, I put a boundary. You don't have to worry about the ocean. What are you worried about the ocean for? It can't go any further than I said. I put a boundary for it. Go watch it. Stand on the beach. Go there next year. It's still there. Still there. Doesn't go anywhere. No. Comes and goes. In and out. High tide, low tide, in and out. That's what it does. So God, what do you say? God said, I set boundaries. And sliding over, I'll read verse 29 again. And when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one that brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the inhabitable part of the earth, his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children. For blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whosoever findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But, verse 36, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and all they that hate me love death. Listen, you got that? What's the Spirit of God's ministry? To be a pain in the neck to you. So, because your old nature never changes. Never changes. It hates being disciplined. Just think of the thing here. It's a silly illustration again. You know what happens? What happens if you work for me at my sweatshop? And you work for me. And I was there. I had a boss like that. I was there. And every other minute, I'm telling you, do this, don't do this, do this, don't do it. You did that wrong. Fix that. Do that. If you did that 8 hours, you're ready to go home. You want to go back to work the next day? No. No, we don't like that. We don't want that kind of thing. And the Spirit of God, we don't like it. The Spirit of God says, I'm going to help you go in a way, a wise way. I'm going to have you lead you in the paths of righteousness. I'm going to take you down the corridor of time, and I'm going to go and help you. Now, it's a silly illustration again. I used it sometime in the years, looking at my own little life. And when I was a young boy, I think I told you this. Anyway, I'm sure I did. When I was a young boy, I delivered all the stuff from my father, silversmith, and Gable Lines, very famous, did all the work for one of the, fix everything that was unfixable, antiques and things Paul Revere made and everything. They made the same thing the same way. Anyway, I used to deliver silver and things that had to be fixed, and jewels put on some things, and delivered them from the Gable Lines. I was a young little boy. And I had my little bag, brown bag. And I went through, I used to know Boston, you know. I used to go through the filings, basement, the shortcuts, to all those different things, you know. And you go through Scully Square. And I told you that was a very bad place. And I always knew, I always knew it. God was with me. That's the only way I could get through. Because here I got this little paper bag with who knows what kind of values in it. And here are all kinds of people. I had no problem. No problem. God was there. God was there. No. No. So, you get the idea a little bit. You need a companion. Wisdom. When you get saved, you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And now you are no longer alone. No longer alone. You have someone there. And this someone is no one less than God in Christ in you. Hang on to that. Like the morning you'll catch it again. God in Christ in you. Awesome. Too awesome to be believed. But so awesome, it needs to be believed. It needs to be understood. So, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, back over if I can to Galatians. And picking up, please. Galatians in chapter 5. And you will note, Galatians 5, and you're going to go in picking it up. You'll catch the thought of it in chapter 5, verse 12. I would that they were even cut off, which trouble you. In other words, the Judaizers, the Jewish people, having got to keep the law It's wonderful to believe, but you better keep the law, circumcision, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, verse 13, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not your liberty as an occasion to the flesh. God has set you free to exercise God's wonderful life, but by love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, and thus fulfill all the commandments. Verse 15, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. And that's where wars and envy and strife and politics and a thousand other things. Because, why? We have a desire, which is coming up as we keep reading. So therefore, devour one another. In verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not, N-O-T, fulfill the lust, the word lust, desire to have something, to want something, to wish something, and to pursue it. I want to have that, I want to get that, I want that, desires. And the end, verse 16, and not fulfill the lust, the desire of the flesh. Now, and thus in you have, verse 16, and so walking in a strong desire to do or to have something, whether bad or evil, good, just you want something bad enough and you go after it. You will it. W-I-L-L. You will. I am, I will, I ought. I will. And therefore, the flesh, verse 17, lusteth against the Spirit. It goes against the Spirit of God. It's the contrary, diametrically opposed to the Spirit of God. That's what it is, diametrically opposed. For the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, they're opposed to each other. So your old nature is 1,000% against your new nature in Christ. That's what you need to know. Your old nature, you, apart from being saved in God's grace, your old nature is against that. It's against you being saved. But you have a will. I am, I will, I ought. I am morally responsible. So I will, and I choose. I have a right to choose. I can't change my old nature, but I can choose to believe in God and receive Him as my Savior. And I can do that. And when I receive Him as my Savior, I'm able to have the benefit of being saved. And God sets me free. Chains, He sets me free from my old nature. My old nature is just as ornery as it ever was. The trouble is, now the problem is that the old nature is stuck because it can't change. It can't change God. God isn't going to go away. I came to the Lord as my Savior, and He's going to be my Savior. And I am going to trust Him. He's my ever-present companion as I go down the corridor of time. So here I got God's wonderful grace in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And in the process, I'm going to have a problem. What's the problem? Verse 17, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. You want to go and get do, and the old nature, your old nature wants desires, lust, wants something, and God says, no, that's not the way to go, and you won't feel comfortable. And that's a sign of you're saved. If it doesn't matter anymore, but I used to think of years ago when things were much more wonderfully spiritually active, if I may say it that way, spiritually active. And when you got saved, you knew you were saved because you stopped drinking, you stopped smoking, you stopped doing all kinds of things. You got changed. The fellow got out of the sit down by the got out years ago, you know, and they sit there. Well, they had the new homeless thing where you put you up at the Ritz-Carlton. Now they sit in the gutter. And the guy got saved. And then and you see him. He's shaved, crossed, dressed. What happened to it? I came to know the Lord as my Savior. People changed. It was a big thing. People changed. Their life changed. Not everybody, but people did. So God, what happens? Well, when you came to the Lord as your Savior, the Spirit of God says, no, you got to fix all this. You got to fix it. And you do. And they fixed it. And God did it. They had a change. The Spirit of God was there. There, you know. They used to do this, but you don't want to do that anymore. No, no. God said you don't have to do that. No, don't do that. Wrong way. Wrong way. And you fix a lot of things that you know that aren't good for you. And God helps you because he can fix you. And as you follow that, God, you keep growing and knowing. So now, here we are, looking at here we are, and they're opposed one to the other. Now, as you're looking at that and keeping that in front of you there, and in the process of that, you'll notice that you're going to have all the reason for the conflict is because the Spirit of God is there. And the Spirit of God is going to go and is hostile. Your old nature is hostile to God and your wonderful Christ in you. And thus it opposes Christ. You can do that. You can understand. Make that easier. Here we are, us humans. And if I put God, here we are in the presence of God. Us humans. Which of us humans measures up? Which, if you can just imagine it, here we are, God in your presence. You're holy, you're righteous, with beyond anything we can understand. So God, here we are. Which of us are going to do anything to change God? No one. God, you're God. And our old nature is not for you. It's not for you, God. So therefore, what are you going to do? That's why you got saved. That's why you received the Lord as your Savior, so that you'd know, so that you could understand, so that you could enjoy life. That doesn't mean you just want to be able to be free, to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to know I have a healthy, holy, saving relationship to God, and that's what I want to have. So therefore, now, where's the contrast? Okay, God's going to give it to us. In chapter 5, verse 18, but if we be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. So the Spirit of God, we're supposed to be honoring the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry. And as we do, the Spirit of God's going to go. And what's the contrast? Your old nature. Chapter 5, 19, 20, 21. 17 words describing your old nature. 17 words. And those, that's your old nature. Works, the works of the flesh. Verses what? Chapter 5, verse 22, 23, 24. The fruit of the Spirit of God. There's your contrast. You got the works of the law, that's my old nature. And I got the Spirit of God, the fruit of God's wonderful person, his life. And they're doing this. Conflict. That's there. The Spirit of God is no way like your works. And hang over just to get that for a moment. Over to the Gospel of Mark. In the Gospel of Mark, picking up, if I may, chapter 7. You know it. Mark chapter 7. And you'll catch the thought of it. Going, if I can, to verse 18, a little context. Chapter 7, verse 18, the Gospel of Mark. And he said unto them, are you so without understanding? Remember now they were eating. Anyway, verse 18. And he said unto them, are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever things from without entereth into the mouth, it cannot defile him? It can make you very sick, but nothing go put in. It could kill you, but it won't do anything else. Won't do anything else to you. No, nothing. It's nothing. It's the inside, not the outside. If I just did this evil, there's evil out here. No, there's no evil out here. The evil's in here. Watch it. Chapter, our Lord tells us, there's a difference in what you take through the mouth, you get rid of. Because, verse 19, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the drought, into the drought purgeth all meats, foods. In other words, you get rid of the waste, and it just keeps going. That's how it is. You take it in, take something, you assimilate something, and you get rid of the rest. Now, illustration, God said, the problem isn't what you eat. Verse 20, but he said, that which cometh out of the man, inside from the inside, that defileth the man. And now you're going to list them. What is it? That's your works of your old nature, the works of the flesh. Verse 21, for from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Verse 23, all these evils come from within and defile the man. It isn't, it's your old nature, the works of the flesh. And when you receive Christ as your Savior, he said, I crucified and paid the price for every dumb word, thought, and deed you could ever do. And the old nature hates me. But God said, I saved you. I'm saving you. And therefore, don't honor the works of the flesh. These are contrary one to the other. They're at war. They're diametrically opposed. You don't want to honor them. You want to thank me. Back to grace. Grace is all of God and nothing of us. Nothing. It's always grace all the day long that you get. When you get to heaven, it's all grace. All God's wonderful person. Always this wonderful, wonderful person. Now, so having said that and keeping that in mind so that you cannot do the things that you would, over if I can, please. Back over. Oh, we got to do, thank you. Thank you for that. I didn't mean to leave that out. Now, opposed. Got to put that part of it. Now, over to Romans. Book of Romans. I didn't mean to leave that out, because you need that. You need Romans. So, and remember the gospel, the good news. Christ has died, buried our sins, and rose again and gave us this wonderful life. So, and to understand that, Romans chapter 6, Christ crucified us, and gave us a wonderful relationship to himself. Now, having said that, and then we go to chapter 8, the resurrection. We enjoy a wonderful life as new creatures in Christ. Sons of God. Wow. Wow. But in order to get from Romans 6 to Romans 8, you've got to go to Romans 7. Now tie that together in your mind, Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. The flesh and the works, and the flesh and the Spirit of God are contrary, hostile to each other. Now God, how are you going to fix it? Well, he died. We receive him as our Savior. Now what do I have to do? I can't enjoy the life, Romans chapter 8, without chapter 7. Chapter 7 has to get me there. So therefore, chapter 7, picking up, please, if I can, Oh, if I can, over in, I'll read it in verse 1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law, of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is freed from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Verse 4. Therefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law. Christ crucified us. Reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin. Romans 6:11. Become dead to the law by the body of Christ. Christ took our sin in his own body on the tree. What reason? That you should be married to another. God said, I can't take you. You're related to the first Adam. Adam and Eve were related to the first Adam. I can't take you. You're already married. You already have a relationship to your old nature. I can't bring them together. I can't do it. So therefore, you're going to take my old nature and take it to the cross so that I die. And since I'm dead, I'm free. Free. To go to another person. That's right. God said I had to set you free because I couldn't take you as you were. You have to be related to the last Adam, not the first Adam. I set you free by death, the first Adam, so that you can be wonderfully related, married to the last Adam. Watch it. All of this is just normal, simple, true, good news. You just need to put all the pieces, when they're all come together, Christ died for me, buried, and rose again, and gave me a wonderful relationship to him. That's what I just said. And all of them I'm reading. I'm telling you how to experience it. That's the problem. You want to experience the life, not just read about it and study about it. You want to enjoy it. No? You want it. Now, you got to keep going. So, where would we be without Romans 7? So, therefore, our arrangement then that we've married, well, I'm going to read verse 4, therefore. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. What do you know from Galatians without turning there? There's the works of the flesh, 5:19-20. And over here is the fruit of the Spirit of God, 5:22. These are contrary to each other. So, chapter 7, in verse 5. But when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members, eyes, ears, nose, throat, to bring forth the fruit unto death. That's what we did. The wages of sin is death. But now we are delivered from the law. That purpose, being dead, wherein you were held, that we should serve in newness. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Newness of the spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. And therefore, God, you set us free to enjoy a relationship to you. That's right. How? By death. You know, I said, therefore, God, but I have to find that out. Oh, you do. Therefore, signing over, just do it fast. Verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, but to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. I got an old I got an old nature. The old nature is against my new, my relationship to Christ. That's right. And therefore, verse 19, for the good that I would, I do not. I would like to do the right thing, but my old nature dominates. Galatians 5, 17, the Spirit of God is going to oppose, help you through it. He's going to be there. In verse 19, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, I do. So I got an old nature. That's right. Verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? That's, I got a problem. Right. And I got to solve it. How am I going to solve it? Verse 25, verse 20, chapter 8, I'm going to look to the Spirit of God, who's going to do a wonderful thing and set me free. He set me free. How did he set me free? Because he pounds into my little brain. To what? You received Christ as your Savior. You have wonderfully good news. Exercise the relationship. Trust God. Thank God. You have a relationship. God has set you free from the old nature. You reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God. That's all you do. Say thank you. Don't try to fight it up. I gotta go and use my tie. Gotta go and tie myself up, get everything all set me free. No, I don't have to do anything. I just thank him. I didn't do it. He did it. He set me free when he died and rose again. And the Spirit of God's ministry is to help you enjoy being free. I gotta quit. Thank you. Hope you got a little bit.